So I see a common theme from tonight's worship. I don't know if you saw it. I want to read some lyrics. There's no prison wall you can't break through. There's no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body that you can't raise. There's no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you light it up. The God of revival, let our hope arise, for death is overcome and you've already won. Another song said, your power, your presence, it breaks strongholds, King of heaven. When the Lord speaks, mountains move. There's been a common theme of God, you can do anything. There's nothing impossible for the Lord. And I love what Jason was talking about tonight. He was talking about the sheep of God that hear his voice. Because we are the sheep of God and we hear his voice. But when we hear his voice, we have to build accustomed to knowing it. And the way we do that is by spending time in the presence of our Father. So tonight, I want to talk about the Lord's voice. And I've spoken before about how to hear God's voice, but tonight I want to talk about how do we prepare as Christians to hear his voice? Because there's a difference. I can hear God's voice, but in order to hear him, I have to prepare myself to hear him, or else I'll miss it. So tonight I'm going to be speaking about the story of Jacob and how he wrestled with the Lord. I want to ask you guys something. How many of you have ever had a life decision that you had to make that was life-altering? How many have ever had to make a decision about where you're going to go to school, who you might want to marry, what job you might want to take, what state you want to live in? Jason and Andrew, how'd you make the decision that you wanted to become a doctor? It's non-rhetorical. Coco, how'd you hear from the Lord that you want to go to school for music and teach music? Pastor Lazar, Pastor Kui, Pastor Doreen, how did you hear God's voice that you were to become pastors and lead the church? It's not an easy decision. And I'm sure if I asked people here tonight why you got married to a certain someone or why you chose to go somewhere, I'm sure that 99% of you would raise your hand and say, well, I prayed about it. And if you didn't, shame on you. But you would say, I prayed about it, right? And I heard the Lord's voice, and he told me X, Y, and Z. And because I heard the Lord's voice, that's where I'm at right now. Many times in our life, in order to make a decision, in order to hear God on the things that are specific to our life, in order to have guidance through the Holy Spirit for certain things, we need to hear God's voice. And in order to hear God's voice, we must prepare our hearts, our minds, our ears, everything to be able to hear him. So how do we prepare to hear God's voice? So tonight I'm going to be talking about Jacob. And I want to go through a bit of the storytelling. I want to give you some context of where we're at in Scripture. So I'm going to be reading around Genesis 28 to Genesis 32. And I'm sure you heard the story of Jacob at one point of your life. Jacob was a deceiver, a liar, right? He clothed himself like his brother. He put on wool to feel like his brother. And he got a blessing from the Lord and he deceived his brother. And what happened after he deceived his brother? His brother got angry. He fled to a different area. His mom told him, go back to the country of your the area of your grandfather. And while you're there, marry a woman from our family and wait there until your brother cools down, right? So what does Jacob do? He started to work for his uncle slash his father-in-law, Laban. And there's a woman that catches his eye and he says, I'll work 7 years for her. And what happens? He gets deceived. And after he gets deceived, he says, well, I'll work another 7 years for her. right? 14 years for a woman. Men. That's a long time. If she's from the Lord, hallelujah. Then he works another 6 years for the flock, right? He says, how do you want to be paid? He says, just pay me with the flock. I'll work for it. 20 years he spends working for Laban. But through that, he gets manipulated and tricked 10 times. Over and over, he gets messed up from his father-in-law. So he says, you know what? He got frustrated. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord told him, go back to the area where you came from. And he gave him a dream at Bethel. And he said, go back to this area and look around. The sand that you see, you won't even be able to count how many descendants I'll bless you with. Go back, for I have a promise for you in that area. So what does he do? Jacob packs up his stuff, and in the middle of the night, to get away from his father-in-law, he starts to make his way back. He gets caught by his father-in-law, and there's problems, right? His father-in-law chases him down, says, why did you take off? I wanted to say goodbye to my family. But the Lord settles the dispute. But it doesn't stop there. As he continues on, what happens next? He remembers that he has a quarrel with his brother. And he's scared for his life. He's scared for his family's life, his wives, his children. And he prays to God. He says, God, protect me. I'm going back this area. And I don't know if my brother is still angry at me. I don't know if he's going to try to kill me or hurt my family. So then he sends word to his brother. And his brother starts to come towards him with 400 men, right? Now, I would be pretty scared if I knew I caused trouble for someone and he was coming at me with 400 men. So what does Jacob do? I'll tell you what he does. Jacob prays. He prays. He has a problem and he doesn't know what else to do. So he prays. And in Genesis 32, starting in verse 9, then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me that you will treat me kindly. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. And when I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. And now my household fills two large camps. O Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I am afraid that he is coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promised me it will surely be treated with kindness. And I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. So what happens? He has turmoil. He knows his brother is after him. And he cries out to God in prayer. And his prayer is a reminder of what God spoke to him. Many times our prayer can remind God of what he told us he would do. It doesn't offend God to hear what he promised. It actually builds up God's character in us because we understand what he has spoken to us. And the Lord doesn't reply. He finishes the prayer, then he prepares animals and camels and cows, and he sends them as a gift to his brother. And he says, perhaps if I send him gifts, he won't be angry with me. But the Lord didn't respond to him just yet. He prayed. He asked God, he reminded God, and he waited. So he sends the gifts. Then after that, this is where we get to Genesis 32, verse 22. And this is the meat of the story where Jacob wrestles with the Lord at Peniel. And what happens? Let's start in verse 22. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the Jacob River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw that he would not win in the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. And he replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Then the man replied, then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel. So there are a few things we have to note from this area of the story. Jacob in turmoil prayed to the Lord. And after that, he still didn't receive a response. So what did Jacob do? He sent his family across the river. He sent his possessions across the river. He sent everything he had across, and he went back to the camp. In order to hear from God, in order for us to be ready and prepared to hear the voice of God, we must shut off everything. God is calling us back to intimacy, church. God is calling us back to the prayer closet. God is calling us back to one-on-one with the Father. It's not that his family is a bad thing or that his possessions are a bad thing, but Jacob realized, I need no distraction. I need my time with the Father. There are times in our life as a church where we can go to Thursday night Bible study. We can go to Sunday night service, Sunday morning service, Monday, Wednesday, Friday prayer, Tuesday prayer, Wednesday youth. We have so many things to do, right? But if we do all those things, yet we neglect one-on-one with the Father, we're wasting our time. We are wasting our time if we are not spending intimacy with the Father. Because when we are one with God and alone with God, then he speaks to us. We have his full attention and he has our full attention. We must put everything away to be one with the Lord. How many of you have ever stayed up all night for prayer? I mean, you don't have to show your hands. I know it's a flex. It's hard work. I personally have never stayed from night till morning in prayer. I can't. I'll fall asleep. I've tried. But there's something that happens. When you want to hear God's voice, and when you need an answer from God for direction in your life, when you want to have intuition with his voice and direction for what he wants you to do, not what you want to do, for the will of God, you have to wrestle with God. If you want to know who to marry, wrestle God. If you want to know what church to go to, wrestle with God. If you want to know what career path to take, wrestle God. If you want to lead your children better, wrestle with God. If you want to be more effective in the church, wrestle with God. If you want anointing from the pulpit, wrestle with God. If you want to lead your family, wrestle with God. And don't leave until, like Jacob said, I'm not leaving, Lord. I'm not going. I've had moments in my life where I said that, but I fell asleep. But it's not about how many hours I can stay. It's the position of the heart towards walking with God. It's the position of your heart when you're saying, God, I will not leave until you speak to me. Because your word is active and it's alive. Psalm 116, verse 1. You best pe Domnul. I don't know why I went Romanian. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. The Lord hears. Psalm 135 says this, do we worship gods like idols who are made of wood, who are made of clay, the silver, the metal? They don't hear, they don't smell, they don't see. We worship the living God, church. We worship a God who's looking down on the church right now. We worship a God who hears me. It doesn't matter if I'm loud like I am now or if I'm whispering like Hannah. God hears it. God hears it. Psalm 33 says he made our hearts and he knows everything that's in it. It's the position of the heart towards God when you say, God, I don't care about anything else. I desire the will of the Lord more than anything in my life. And if you want to see New Testament backup for this, let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Many times we see this example from the Lord. And have you ever had a question that you just can't wrap your mind? And you ask the Lord all the time, how'd you do that? I always ask God, how do you sleep on a rock outside? You walk miles all day. You minister to thousands of people. And when everyone goes to sleep, you go spend time on the mountain by yourself for like 8 hours. It makes no sense to me. But this is what Jesus did. And if we're talking about important decisions in our life, look what happens in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. All night, he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his 12 disciples, or called all his disciples, and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. And then it lists the apostles down to Judas. If you're thinking Jesus didn't need time with the Father to make important decisions, the Bible shows that he did. The 12 men that changed the trajectory of the world, changed the trajectory of the gospel, flipped the world, like the Bible says, upside down. God had to choose specifically, Jesus had to choose specifically the will of the Father of which 12 should go. To hear the voice of God, you must spend in time in prayer. To hear what God wants for you specifically in your life, you must get on your knees during the night. And it's so beautiful how all this lined up, because if you were here this morning, we heard the testimony of Adriana and Vasile Kresnian. My heart was breaking because as she was speaking, what did she say? She said, the Lord told me I needed to pray, but I didn't pray enough. And she said, Lord, what do I need to do? My husband's dying of COVID. What do I need to do? And he said, wake up in the middle of the night and pray and pray and pray. She didn't know what else to do. That's all she could do is pray. Have you ever been so desperate from God? You have no other answer. You have nothing you can do, but all you can do is fall on your knees and pray. It is the most simple but the most difficult task of a Christian in the 21st century. Prayer solves every issue. Prayer shows you what you need to do. Even if you don't know the direction, prayer will give you peace when it makes no sense. You can fall down on your knees before the Lord and pray, and even if everything's upside down, for some reason, you leave out peaceful. You leave at rest. It doesn't make sense. To communicate with a person, you need vocality. You need to hear each other. With the Lord, to hear the Lord, you need stillness and quietness. It makes no sense. But when I'm one with the Lord, I start to hear what the Lord says. Jesus prayed all night to make one of the biggest decisions of his life. Do we do the same thing? I'm not speaking from someone who's achieved it. In fact, during prayer, preparing for this message, I'm saying, God, I didn't even pray enough to give a message on prayer. But I'm not preaching to you, telling you what to do. I'm preaching you for us as a group, what God is calling us to do, what the scripture teaches us to do. We ask God for the words. We ask God to know how to lead well. We get frustrated with God when we don't hear him. Am I the only one? Have you ever been frustrated with God? Let me give you an example. Maybe some of you haven't seen me the last 6 months. I've been a little bit gone, right? A little bit. So if you don't know, I work in IT and my job requires me to travel. And when it picks up, I can't say yes or no. I just gotta go. So for the last 6 months, almost every other weekend, I've been traveling across the United States working. I haven't left the church, don't worry. I've been working. And more I've been feeling like my connection to the church, my connection to people, my connection to the youth has been separating. So after these 6 months, I prayed about it, and because of some circumstances, I felt like the Lord saying, step back. Don't trust in that job, trust in me. So I pulled back. And now as I'm preparing for certain things in my life, because everyone has question marks, and certain things have opened up in my life where I need to work. Rebecca from Portland. Certain things open up. And I'm praying, I'm asking, God, this makes no sense. I need to do something. So I picked up some more schooling so I can graduate earlier. And I'm frustrated with the Lord saying, God, this makes no sense. Open up a door of blessing so I can work even something. And door after door, things started closing. I don't know why. And I felt like the Lord saying, focus on the church. Focus on your youth. Focus on what I called you to do in the season, right? Because in the kingdom, things are backwards. They don't make sense. And I got on my knees after reading this passage about wrestling with the Lord. I said, I'm going to try this. Lord, I'm wrestling with you and I'm not leaving here until you speak to me through your word, until you give me something to leave here with. I'm not getting up, even if I fall asleep, which happens often. And the Holy Spirit pressed Ephesians 4:12 on my heart. And I didn't know the verse. I said, God, what do you want me to do right now? Tell me exactly what you want me to do so I can know you're leading me. This is what Ephesians 4:12 says. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. How can you be more clear? And of course, us as humans, what do we say? No, that wasn't God. I need a second sign, Lord. Speak to me again. That doesn't count. So I'm praying, I'm flipping through the word, and somehow I end up on John 21. And I'm looking at John 21. I'm just reading through it. The disciples hop out of the boat. They saw Jesus, right? This guy is in a different form. They couldn't recognize him, but they knew it was him. And Jesus asked Peter three times. What did he ask him? Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And what was Jesus' response all three times? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Okay, maybe it's a coincidence. I start reading further down, and I'm praying, and I'm frustrated. I'm like, God, look at Jason. He's a doctor. Look at this guy. He's doing this. Look at these. What am I doing, Lord? I need to focus on something like that. And I go down to verse 20. Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved, which is John, right? Lord, what about him? And look how it responds. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Basically, Jesus saying, that's not your problem. Mind your business. As for you, Peter, you follow me. You do what I told you to do. You don't worry about anyone else. Your pedestal, your comparison is not the people around you, church. You listen to the intuition and the voice of the Father alone and no one else. For every person here is called differently. 1 Corinthians 12, we're all baptized to one body, but each person is given a gift for what? For the edification of who? The brethren. And if we were all arms, how would that look? If we were all feet, how would that look? God said, as for you, during this season, you listen to no one else. I've given you enough. Follow that until I speak again. And if you want me to speak again, come back to your prayer closet. But before all this, I was frustrated with God, right? God, you're not speaking to me. You're not talking to me. You're not leading me. You're not showing me. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me right then and there and said this. Have you read your word today? No, I've been working. I had stuff to do. Did you pray today? No, I just got home and I didn't have time to pray. And the Holy Spirit urged my heart. He said, never, ever expect me to speak to you without you first opening up your word and reading and without praying. He said to me, if you cannot follow the basic elementary principles of the gospel, don't expect revelation. Don't expect a prophetic word. Don't expect someone on the street to tell you what God wants you to do. This is where you find truth in life first. If I've done my part through the word, through fasting, through prayer, through crying and wrestling with the Lord, and I still don't hear anything, I still trust him. But if I haven't gotten that first through this, and through prayer, I'm wasting my time. I have no reason to be upset with the Father. And Jacob understood this because he wrestled with God. He prayed, And God answered him. God gave him two dreams. And after that, he said, I still don't have an answer. Now I'm wrestling with God, and God answered him. If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you have to wrestle with God. If you want to know the direction of your life, if you want to know what God is calling you specifically to do, then you have to do the thing that you don't want to do, which is pray. 1 Timothy 3 talks about this. It says, physical discipline is good. It gives you benefits in this life, but spiritual discipline brings you benefits in this life and in the life to come. You're working out a muscle. You have to build a resistance when you're praying with the Father. And though it might hurt when you wrestle with him, that is the only way you will have direction for your life, brothers and sisters. That is the only way you'll hear from him clearly. If you're frustrated with him, if you want to hear him more, you know what you need to do like Jacob did. Send your family somewhere. Send your possessions, your laptops, your phones. Turn off everything. Man, I grew up without a lock on my door for 20 years. We never thought to change it. And every time I was in prayer or something, you know how it is in the house, people are yelling, people are cooking, people, whatever. It gets loud. I think last year, the year before, we put a lock on the door. It is the greatest invention in the history of mankind. Because no one can get in, and they're pulling, and they're yanking, and they're knocking, but I got headphones on, I can hear nothing. Lock your door and spend time with the Father. And don't leave until you can say, this is Peniel. I've seen God face to face. Just like Vasil and Adriana's testimony today, God calls us to pray, to pray, to pray. And I'm going to close with just an example. There's this man named Brother Yun from China. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's basically the Richard Wurmbrand of China. As a teenage boy, he heard about the gospel, and God called him from a young age. He's been persecuted his entire life. He preached the gospel countless times around China. But I was reading through his book, and I was listening to his testimony from when he was young. And he said something. He said, back then, during persecution, you couldn't find a Bible. No one had a Bible. No one. Rarely if you find someone, one or two people who had one. And he said, but I heard this, and I wanted the true gospel. If this is true, I want one of my own so I can read it and study it. And he said he fasted and he prayed for 100 days. I can't even fast sometimes one or two days. And I got two Bibles sitting with me at the podium. I got another four at home. And he said, I prayed and fasted for 100 days. His mom and dad thought he was going crazy. They thought he was mental. But he said, I'm wrestling with God, and I will not stop until the Lord answers me. And after 100 days, you know what happened? In the middle of the night, a man traveled to his parents' house, knocked on their door, and said, the Lord told me to bring this to your son. Give it to him. Walked away, never knew who it was. He opened it up, and he was one of the only people in China with the Bible. I think 15 years old, something very young. But this just shows you the power of what prayer and fasting and dedication in wrestling with God does. So brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you tonight is to not let go. Paste on Peniel on your doorpost. In your home, say, I want a Peniel. In our church, I want a Peniel. At youth, I want a Peniel. I want to see the face of God. I want his direction. I want his leadership. I want to know what to do. Like I said, my sheep know my voice. But if my eyes are distracted, if my ears are distracted, I can't hear from him clearly. You can't. So for every person tonight, maybe you're asking God certain things in your life. Maybe you're frustrated because you feel like there's no direction in your life. Maybe you're frustrated because you can't hear clearly. Lock your door and spend time with him. It's the simplest thing. I don't need to give you some special revelation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, I don't come with some crazy gospel to try to build you up. I preach the cross of Christ simply. You'll be transformed. I'm giving you the simple gospel. Pray, lock your door, fast, read, spend time with God, and you'll see mountains and mountains move. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to invite us all to stand up. And if you need a moment with the Lord, if you're frustrated, if you can't hear him clearly, if you want to hear him more clearly, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up too. Then let's take a moment in this next prayer and let's just ask God, God, open up the gates of my ears. Open up the gates of my eyes. If I'm looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at, if I'm spending time on things I shouldn't be spending on and then desiring to hear from you, cut those things out of my life. Church, even in your preparation to hear with God, I used to come to prayer here on Wednesdays and I would watch a ball game or I would watch a basketball game right before, and okay, it's 7 o'clock, I gotta go to church. I would come to church and for an hour I would be frustrated why I can't get into the presence of God, why I'm thinking about that last play, why I'm thinking about the last shot, why I'm thinking about basketball players. And God was very clear with me. He said, what are you doing in preparation before you come into my presence? If you're in the presence of God before you come into church, do you know how this place would be? Our preparation into the presence of God is just as important as hearing the voice of God. And so in this next prayer, in this closing prayer, let's go before the Lord. Let's worship him. And if you need answers, if you want direction, if you need a mountain move, then tell God tonight, I'm not leaving this place until Peniel. I'm not leaving my home until Peniel. I'm not going to sleep until Peniel. Even if I fall asleep, I'll wake back up and I'm not going to stop again until Peniel. And believe, like the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. So as long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. Over and over through the Psalms, I asked the Lord, I prayed to the Lord. Psalm 34, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Psalm 40, I prayed to the Lord and he picked me up out of the miry clay. He placed my feet on solid rock. So let's go before the Lord. Let's pray, let's worship, and let's give God our full attention. Amen.